heard through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, an interesting conversation spawned by the DK Metcalf Seahawks. I'm going to say contract tension. Like, is it a holdout? Do we call it a holdout, or do we say some contract tension? I don't know if it's Facebook official yet.
Well, I mean, I would say holdout. Okay. I mean, at the current moment, I mean, there was a mandatory minicamp. DK sure. didn't show up. I mean, okay. that's a holdout.
All right, let's
call it a definition of a holdout.
So, what's happening with DK Metcalf and the Seahawks, prompting some interesting conversations about the wide receiver market in general, since presumably the reason DK is not there is because an offer that Seattle has made so far didn't make him happy. And why might that number be so sky high for DK Metcalf? Well, not only do players always want to get paid what they're worth, and agents and players are always going to want more than the team's initial offer, but also the wide receiver market has grown exponentially this offseason. That started in a weird way a couple years ago with Hopkins landing with the Cardinals, but it really, really was set off by a couple deals this offseason, beginning with Jacksonville and obviously then spanning to Devontae Adams. Tyreek Hill still capping the market at $30 million. That hasn't been passed by Cooper Kupp, though a couple other players, A.J. Brown, Cooper Kupp, since hitting around $25, $26 million. So if the Seahawks offered $25, $26 million, I mean, that's kind of market value right now. I mean, I don't know if DK is expecting to get the $30 million-ish that Tyreek Hill is, but I think a good counterpart would be someone like A.J. Brown, and that's about what he's making. Let's say the Seahawks offered less than that. Let's say they offered $22, right? $23, yeah. Whatever it is. You can kind of see why DK would say, yeah, I don't know, man, not for me. That number's going to have to be a little bit higher. However, one person who thinks the Seahawks have all the right in the world to hold out that leverage is Colin Cowherd, who thinks wide receivers are being overvalued right now.
I also believe we are in a wide receiver bubble. The Tyreek Hill trade, I believe you'll look at it and go, you can't give a team five draft picks. So I think we have tech bubbles, housing bubbles. I think we're in a wide receiver bubble. I think they're valuable. They're not that valuable. Even Tyreek Hill is not five picks valuable. So now is not the time for two things in America: to have a gas-guzzling truck with gas prices. Now is not the time. The second thing, it's not a time to be paying wide receivers huge money unless you have a star quarterback and you can elevate them. I think Seattle has the leverage here. This is a moment I would not give an early extension.
360 says, how about call Metcalf's contract holdout a, quote, philosophical difference in compensation? Sounds more official. I like that. Colin Cowherd basically saying, look, wide receivers are overvalued. I wouldn't pay DK, especially without a star quarterback. However, I think there's plenty of examples of wide receivers being paid this offseason without star quarterback. I know Curtis and I will make plenty of jokes about Derek Carr being like maybe the number 1, 2, 3 quarterback in all of football. But one of the high-priced wide receivers this offseason did land with the Raiders, where Derek Carr is quarterback, and I don't know many people that would say he's absolutely elite.
No, but there's also, okay, so Colin Cowherd, you say elevate the guy around you. Well, the Raiders are saying, look, we believe in Derek Carr, and we believe that if Devontae Adams is there, the best receiver in all of football, that it's going to elevate his play. And we'll have to see how that goes. Now, they have a strong relationship and are best friends, and if you know, played together since their Fresno State days, so you believe that that connection is going to be extremely strong. However, there are other examples. Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins. You look at A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles, and you've got Jalen Hurts there, right? There are other examples in play that you can point to, and we're all going to be curious to see how that impact will, you know, affect their team. And these quarterbacks who may or may not be excellent quarterbacks in the league, but they're trying to see and give them every opportunity to do so. Exactly. So surround them with talent. Now in Seattle, yeah, you don't have that quarterback, but you're planning on it over the course of DK Metcalf's contract, whether it most likely it being a 4-year extension, you're planning that you're going to have your quarterback of the future during those years. Are you not? You're not just going to perpetually go into this, you know, cycle of Geno Smith and Drew Locke. That's not the plan. You're right about that. So I understand Colin Cowherd saying don't pay a receiver unless you know for certain what it looks like. But I just don't think that that's a realistic proposition for the Seahawks right now. And I think that DK holds a lot of leverage in this case because the Seahawks have committed a great deal to DK Metcalf already. I mean, if they wanted to get rid of him, they would have traded him. And they would have tried to get capital back that would have helped them for this upcoming season before he becomes a free agent, right? I mean, that's truly what they would have done.
I think I understand where someone like Cowherd is coming from in terms of where value should be on your team. It's a slightly similar argument to the idea of should you invest that much in a running back if a running back is easily replaceable. You can say the same for, in his mind, wide receivers. You know, hey, the college market, for lack of a better word, though I think that's a more accurate description, is filled with a ton of wide receivers. The wide receivers are becoming even more talented every year. Look how many top wide receivers we saw this year that just feel like they're pro-ready. I mean, look at the guys coming out of Ohio State, the guys coming out of Bama, right?
Yeah.
These guys are exceptional. And you're seeing, I mean, LSU, you're seeing guys every year that just surprise you, and it feels like records are being broken all the time. Jamar Chase, and prior to that, it was, you know,
Justin Jefferson.
Exactly. But there is some, first of all, the running back argument works when you look at passing efficiency and leaning on passing offenses, for which you do need a good wide receiver. So wide receivers do inherently have more value from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, there is an inherent value that's almost intangible about having a sure thing. And DK Metcalf is a sure thing. Now, that doesn't mean he'll never be injured. It doesn't mean he'll never have a down year. It doesn't mean you're never going to deal with drops or whatever other issues. But he is, and if you disagree with me, that's fine. If you're a listener, he is one of the most talented players they've drafted in the last 5 years, 6 years. I think go back to 2015
easily.
With Frank Clark and Tyler Lockett.
Easily.
I would say he's the best player they've drafted since then.
Yeah. I mean, I would say he's the best. Hold on, let me think about this for a second. I think that he's the best player that they've drafted since 2012.
Sure. So if you say the best player we've drafted, let's say since 2015. It's 2022. He's the best player we've drafted in the last 6 or 7 years. You're going to move on because you think, like, I'm not saying the Seahawks do, but this logic would have you think, like, oh, we're going to move on because we think we can do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It sounds like it's pretty hard to actually do that.
Yeah.
Not just for Seattle, for many teams.
It is, and when you know you have that sure thing, you want to keep it locked in and in place, and you want to build around that. And that, I believe, is every intention that the Seahawks have. Now, the thing that worries me is that, as I mentioned before, the longer you wait, the more and more the price point goes up. That has happened this offseason. Now you're looking at a $25 to $26 million floor, okay, for his contract, and then also the guarantees. If you want to keep that average per year salary down, now you're getting close to almost 100% guaranteed money. I mean, Cooper Kupp's contract was, what was it, $80 million? He got $75 million guaranteed in that extension?
Something like that.
Very similar to that. So, I mean, it is going to take a lot to be able to wrap up this contract negotiation, and you're crossing your fingers that DK Metcalf's deal gets done before Deebo Samuel's, because Deebo Samuel will set the floor again. So,
I think Deebo's going to get more than 30?
No.
Oh, you think set in the sense that he'll raise that average to where it'll be yet another contract DK can point to? Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be firmly 25. It could be firmly 26. And if you're looking at it and saying, all right, he's $26 million, I mean, DK could legitimately say, yeah, I'm worth that, if not more, right? I'm the next guy up for a new deal. And so this is a very difficult situation that they're in. And I am hopeful that this is just a snag in contract talks, and this is not a full-fledged breakdown in contract talks, because that would be costly, not only obviously in having the player on your roster, but in regards to wanting him out there for training camp. Stacey, mm-hmm. They need him out there for training camp. You can't waste time. You've got to have him working with Geno Smith and Drew Lock and developing that chemistry and working together. You need it out there on the practice field and in preseason games and all of that. And if you don't, I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster and not setting your guys up for the best success possible.
I'm going to look at another part of, not another part of the argument, but just some other information here. So outside of just what Colin Cowherd has to say, let's go back to what Pete Carroll had to say about it. He kind of made a movie reference in talking about the extension. So in being asked more about DK Metcalf, he was talking at large, maybe not specifically about Metcalf, but kind of saying like, look, this is something any player goes through is you become a superstar. And then you're reminded that you're in a business where it is within the best interest of the team to get as much talent as possible. And it is in the best interest of you to get as much money as possible. And sometimes those two things are in conflict. And, he said, you know, it's kind of like 51st dates where every player kind of experiences it over and over, but he wishes that they could learn from each other. So, or from past players. I wonder if in this moment he wasn't just meaning in general, he meant in Seattle. Like, I wish that
DK could
look back at how it was handled with Cam, how it was handled with Earl, how it was handled with any other player. It doesn't matter if you are a superstar or not.
Yes.
That, like, we'll do it at this point. These are the rules that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't bend. And it felt a little bit like saying, like, I wish he knew what our rules or we're able to see that we don't bend our rules for extensions. What would you say those rules are?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're not going to negotiate if you hold out. That's first and foremost. That they're not going to bend to the will of the player from that perspective. That, you know, Cam Chancellor tested that to the fullest degree by missing actual games. And they're like, look, we're not going to bend to this because we have to set the standard. If we bend to you, then everyone else thinks that they can do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's just not how we're going to negotiate this. So they've been true to that very much, and they've also been true to the point where, hey, if you work with us and you do this in our way, we will reward you. We rewarded Bobby. Jamal Adams, for you know, everything that we thought that it could be a firework display, it was not in terms of contract negotiations. Did he hold in at training camp? Yes, but it wasn't a media circus surrounding that contract negotiation. He ends up getting paid and being the highest paid safety in the league. I think that there is an element of the Seahawks saying, hey, if you go along with us and how we do things, we will take care of you.
The only thing that makes that different, they made Bobby the highest paid middle linebacker at the time. They made Jamal Adams the highest paid safety. He remains the highest paid safety. They made Russell Wilson the highest paid quarterback at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Will they make DK the highest paid wide receiver? Because suddenly that number's $30 million.
No, they will not. They will not make him the highest paid receiver. And I would be honestly very surprised if DK was trying to get more than $30 million. And I would be surprised if he was trying to get $30 million. What I believe he's probably in the range of is anywhere from probably 25 to, I would say, probably 28. Like, anywhere in that range,
that might make him two or three.
It would make him two or three.
Yeah.
But you're looking at A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, and Cooper Kupp all being in that range. I think that's probably what you're looking at.
Don't forget, if you haven't heard, the Seattle chapter of WISE, that's Women in Sports and Events, wants to recognize a woman in our community through this new program called Women of Inspiration Award. Do you know a woman that gives her all to the sports and events community? It's time to celebrate her. So learn more at womenofinspiration.org. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
First down, what does Pete Carroll mean when he says performance mode versus practice mode?
Performance mode versus practice mode. What I think what you're witnessing here for Pete Carroll is trying to really, really take things back and allow players to really take the time to get to know their system overall. Cut number 25. Here's him kind of explaining what he wanted to get out of this period over the offseason.
In this camp, I wanted us to be in a performance mode more than a practice mode. And so we were taking all of the stuff that we had learned up until now and took it to the field to apply and show what you know, where we are, so that we could get a great gauge on it. And the guys did a wonderful job. And really, we've been doing situations. It's really been the theme of this entire offseason is situation work.
So what I see from that is I see, you know, somebody that is looking at all of these young guys, looking at the competition that's going on at the quarterback position and saying, look, going in 11 on 11 drills right now is not important for us. We want to take care of our guys. We want to keep them healthy. But at the same time, we need to slow things down and do the best that we can to try and get them to understand the fundamentals of what we're after, the fundamental aspects of how we handle each and every single situation, the game of football, two-minute drill, red zone, third downs, you name it. Every situation that comes up, we want to really teach them what we're looking for here in Seattle under this program. And once you get into practice mode, now it's really, all right, it's about competition. It is about, you know, are you beating the guy in front of you? Where are you at on the depth chart? Where are you with the ones and twos? They wanted to eliminate a lot of that conversation, a lot of that concern, and just focus on the work and focus on the development. I believe that's what he means by performance versus practice mode.
Second down. What injury did Pete Carroll talk about that especially concerns you?
I think that what concerns me the most is when Pete Carroll talks about Trey Brown, cut number 8. That to me really, really concerns me.
We'll have to see how Trey Brown is. Trey Brown's still coming back. Also, Marquise Blair, that we got to make sure. You know, I don't know. It's going to be a race. He thinks he's going to make it, but it'll be a race against the clock a little bit there. We'll see how it goes. He's coming back from the bilateral abdominal surgery.
Now, Trey Brown is somebody that this team is really, really relying upon to elevate this cornerback room. This is somebody that the Seahawks organization looks at and says, yeah, this guy can really get it done. And we feel like this guy can not only earn a starting job, but that he can become one of the better corners in this league. That's the feeling about Trey Brown. Now, with him being injured and him working from surgery and coming back from this and not being sure if he's going to be able to start training camp healthy, 100% healthy, that concerns me a great deal because he needs reps. He needs to work with the secondary. They need to work on their chemistry overall together. And that, to me, for a young player, is not something that I typically love to hear, especially when you want to see all these guys compete at that cornerback spot and to have the best guy win. You want Trey Brown to be right in the mix from day one of training camp.
Third down. Pete Carroll was so excited about what he's seen from rookie edge rusher Boye Mafe that he compared him to which Seahawks legend?
Well, let's listen to who he compares him to in Cut 12.
Really holding out hope that Mafe is going to really have a chance to help us. He's really talented. He's the closest looking fit to Cliff Averill that we've seen. You know, the explosion and the flexibility, the bend that he has. And Cliff had a great career for us in the league, and if he can get anywhere near that, it would be a great plus for us. It looks like he's got the chance to be that kind of a player, but we'll see how that goes.
So if Boye Mafe could be anywhere close to Cliff Averill, that'd be an awesome development for this team. And that's high praise for Pete Carroll, who thought the world of Cliff Averill, right? And I think that when you're looking at Boye Mafe, now, should the expectation be that's who he's going to be from day one as a rookie?
Absolutely.
No, it should not, Stacey, because I do believe he's got a lot to round out and improve with his game, but his explosiveness, his athleticism,
every
the traits.
Single game that he does not get 2 sacks, I'm going to start the following Monday saying, when do we cut Boye Mafe?
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well, I really hope that that's not the way you take this, but I think it should be the exciting upside that Boye Mafe possesses, and you're watching his development happen before your eyes as a rookie with every snap that he gets. It's just going to be a matter of when the light clicks on for him, because when it does, he's got the talent to be a dynamic rusher in this league.
Fourth down. I have a fun one for your last fourth down of the day. Mina Kimes is throwing out the first pitch at tonight's Mariners game, at which the Heaps family will be in attendance. So everyone,
yes,
buckle up. Going to be a 4-hour game. If you were to choose any celebrity or athlete to throw out the first pitch tomorrow, who would it be?
Lou Piniella.
You would choose Lou Piniella?
Yep.
Okay. That's a good
Lou
one.
Lou Piniella. I want to see Lou Piniella throw out the first pitch. Then I want to see him pick up first base and
chuck
take it with him. Well, I mean, at his age right now, I wouldn't expect him to chuck it. But I just take it out of the ground and take it on with you and take it to the dugout. Like, I just...
Fair.
Look, Lou Piniella you talk about baseball history in this town. Anybody that I would go nuts over for a first pitch, it would be Lou Piniella. Like,
that'd be pretty
put any
solid.
Celebrity out there, like, okay, you know, all right. But you give Lou Piniella an opportunity to throw out the first pitch, place would go nuts.
Curtis, you go in
go
Jeff Probst?
Nuts.
I think so. I think that'd be a good one.
Post Who? Survivor.
Yeah, Survivor. He's actually from here. We found that out during an episode
I do know one celebrity you would have said to throw out the first pitch.
Guy Fieri?
No. I mean, we know your love for Guy Fieri, but
it's my guy.
One individual that you had love for and it changed drastically because they ran scared from you.
Oh, Ken Jennings?
Yes.
That coward?
Yeah, Ken Jennings the coward.
Oh?
Yeah.
I don't think you ever want to see Ken Jennings in T-Mobile.
I don't think Ken Jennings wants to see me is what it is.
Yeah. There was a chance that Ken Jennings could have maybe come on and
done some trivia last year.
He was with Curtis. Come on at,
yeah, he was going to face off against Curtis in trivia.
He didn't want to lose.
He
didn't
last minute.
He didn't want that smoke.
But then he came on with Wyman and Bob, who obviously were taking him on in trivia.
Wow.
Let's be real.
Yes. But I'm excited for Mina. Mina, obviously, great friend of the show and truly one of the nicest human beings that I've ever
She's
come
wonderful.
Across. So I am curious to see if she can deliver a strike right down the pipe. I mean, let's go, Mina.
All right. Wrapping up the show with some fun. We got Hype Train coming your way next and then finishing up with What I Need to Know. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Get your questions in for What I Need to Know right now to the Mac and Jack's text line. Any question you have, send it in. Text it to 206-421-3776. Again, that number is 206-421-3776. You should also save it in your phone because it's our call-in number for when we or any show takes callers. Time now, though, for Hype Train, so let's head to the station. All right, it's a bit of a marriage of segments. Here, my first Hype Train is inspired by another segment that we did today. So first, I'll tell you what Hype Train is. We tell you guys a trend, a prediction, whatever it is in the world of sports this week. And then if you, Jake, or you, Curtis, agree with it, you board the train. You're buying a ticket. You are buying into the idea, and you have to tell me why. If not, you're letting it go on by because that train is nothing but hype. So here we go. Going off of what Jake had to say, his say it with your chest moment. About the Mariners, how he thinks they're going to finish their 11-game homestand, their longest of the season. The Mariners.
Oh, yes.
Will go 8-3 over their homestand. That's the hype train, Jake. You have to board. You already made this prediction.
I will board this hype train because I created it.
Bold.
Oh, yes.
I mixed up the horns again.
Board, Curtis.
Bold
act
take.
Like you've been here before.
It's Friday. I thought it was a bold take Friday.
Let's go.
Sugar from the donuts got to
your
head.
There's so many horns on this show. So many bells and whistles.
So many
there
noises.
Is. Now, I am boarding this train, and I do think that the Mariners will take advantage of this homestand. They're steadily building, going in the right direction. Now, this is against better competition. Boston Red Sox, Minnesota Twins. These are teams that are above 500, and I would love to see the Mariners be able to get it done against good quality teams.
Curtis, the hype train is that the Mariners will go 8-3. Now, the joke's going to be on me because I say it with a laugh. If they go 8-3 or better, they're going to be like, Stacy, you're the worst.
Yeah, the Mariners would be, what, 30? Would they be 34-34?
It would also mean
winning. It'd be 500.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 consecutive series. Presumably,
unless they get swept in one of the first two and then win like 8 in a row.
Yeah, so I'm going to assume it means winning 7 consecutive series, which I think is just really, really, really hard to do.
I mean, it is hard to do.
It is, but could you imagine,
I would be elated.
That they get themselves to 500 knowing that you are going to then have, right? You're going to have.
You have the A's and Angels after that. Then
yes.
The Orioles and A's.
Yep. I mean, that sets up pretty nicely, right? You're at 500, and that's what your schedule is to finish out the rest of June.
Curtis, are you boarding that train? 8-3 record over the
be
next
awesome.
11 games?
Man, I'm buying a sleeper car on
no,
this train.
You're not.
Yeah, I think the Mariners can do it. 8-3 on this homestand. Get back to 500 before you head out on the road against an A's team that, as we know, is struggling. Yeah, this Mariners team is going to do it. They're going to win 7 series in a row. Will it stop at 7? Who knows, but we'll be in position to find out. Stacey?
Let's go!
I am not boarding this train. I would love for it to happen. However, I just think there's a little... Okay.
Do they at least finish with a winning record?
I think they can finish with a winning record. There's enough talent there and, frankly, like some good luck at home for the Mariners to get that done. Julio's been phenomenal, obviously. I just think there's a little too much pitching talent. And in particular, talent at the plate when you get to the Angels series as well. And for that matter, Boston, for this to be winning every single series. I would love for it to happen. I would love to eat crow. I just don't see that happening.
Okay. All right. All right. Fine.
Next hype train into the station. Only 2 aboard that one. All right. DK Metcalf did not show up to Seahawks mandatory minicamp this week. Clearly something Pete Carroll wasn't necessarily expecting. He was asked whether he was surprised, and he said, maybe more a little disappointed, because DK Metcalf was obviously here for another part of the offseason training, so kind of just expected he'd show up and just be there. But it sounds like DK not super happy with where contract negotiations are right now. Here is the hype train.
Okay.
Tell me if you're boarding. A deal with DK Metcalf and the Seahawks gets done before training camp.
I'm not getting on the hype train.
Okay, wow.
I think that this could definitely bleed into the first week of training camp. I would not be surprised if that was the case. And I just think that there's a lot to get done. There's a lot of, you know, conversation to be had about what kind of money is DK looking for, what kind of average per year salary average per year salary and guarantees does he want, and are the Seahawks going to meet that, or are they going to say, look, we can't do that. We can't hit this number. And DK, I know that in the past we've made players the highest paid player, the next man up. But when it comes to this case, like we're not going to do that. I would be very surprised if that's the way the Seahawks, you know, took this. That doesn't mean I think there's going to be a $30 million deal for DK Metcalf, but I think that you could comfortably see this thing get to 26, 27. Potentially, if you continue to keep waiting.
Curtis, the hype train is that a deal between the Seahawks and DK gets done before the start of training camp. I don't know exactly what date that is, but within the next
usually
6 weeks.
Usually the last week of July.
Usually
first
July
week
31st.
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah.
No, I did not see a deal getting done before training camp. You had to be present to negotiate. That's how we know it goes with the Seahawks. And DK's not present, so the Seahawks, they're not negotiating with him. So If the deal gets done, DK's got to be in the building. And as we know, he's not there. So I don't see a deal getting done before training camp.
I don't see a deal getting done before training camp either. I think that's usually, this is kind of, Pete Carroll hinted at it, but kind of the quiet period where not a lot has gotten done. In fact, the bigger deals that I can think of either happened during camp, which was Jamal Adams' deal, or near the beginning, which was one of Russell Wilson's extensions. I believe both of Bobby Wagner's deals were done during camp. So I would be very surprised if anything for any team gets done in July. It's just usually a really quiet month for the NFL. People are on vacation. It's kind of your only month off.
Yeah.
Right?
Very true.
So I would be surprised to see that get done. Next hype train, last hype train. Oh, man. This is a bit of a... I'm going back to the Mariners. I'm almost going like prediction for a hype train. Okay?
Okay.
Tonight, you have a pitching matchup between Marco Gonzalez and Rich Hill.
Yes.
Marco Gonzalez has been, along with Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is the worst, the Marco Gonzalez is second, correct, Curtis?
In terms of
home runs allowed of any of the Mariners pitchers. So here's the hype train. I'm trying to make it sound positive. Marco Gonzalez does not give a home run in either of his next 2 starts.
Two starts.
I can't do it. I can't board this hype train. I don't believe it. I don't believe that Marco
really
is...
That's really hard to do.
I don't believe that... Look, he's going to be playing the Twins and Boston.
I think it might end two up being...
Teams, two teams that have major hitters in their lineup. I just don't. I have a hard time seeing Marco getting unscathed when this has been a problem for him.
Question, Jake. If I said if I made it only this start tonight, would you board?
No, because I think the Boston Red Sox have got some real mashers.
Curtis, if I made it just this start tonight, would you board?
Boy, I wish I could board. I really wish
Brady,
I could.
Brady, thumbs up back there. Would you board if I made it just this start? Brady's boarding! Okay.
Oh, come on,
Brady. I'm going to board with Brady.
Be honest.
I think Marco Gonzalez does not give up a home run tonight.
Be honest. You
I'd
got
love
Dev-
that. First pitch. I'd love for that
to
be true.
I would too. But you've got Devers, Story, Bogaerts, and Martinez. Like, them alone.
They can match.
Watch it be four home runs in a row just because
Stop
I called
it.
That.
No,
we don't want to see that either.
You don't want to see that. Just give it.
I already did it.
Just give it one single measly one-run home run. That's it. Like, that's it.
I bet you that Marco Gonzalez.
Stacey, you're just stop it.
All right,
you've already bet two straight weeks of donuts already.
Send your questions in now for what I need to know. Any question you have, text it in now to the Mac and Jack's text line 206-421-3776. Wrapping things up with your questions next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in now to the Mac and Jack's text line 206-421-3776. What I need to know is, anyone ever going to watch live golf? I'm not watching the event. I don't watch a ton of golf events unless, and I'm going to be very honest, Tiger's participating.
Yeah, and if it's a major.
And if, yeah. So no, I will not be, though.
They did take some big names, though. Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson.
Yes, Sergio Garcia.
Phil Mickelson. Like.
You just said DeChambeau.
Ricky Fowler.
Putting together a pretty
impressive. Ricky Fowler was in it. I missed that.
Pretty impressive roster up to this point.
I think it only got 100,000 views on its first day, and the only place it was streaming was YouTube.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
It is, but also there's a ton of people
accessible.
On YouTube.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
but you think they could do better than 100,000.
Influencers get like a million.
You would know.
No, I
don't.
You
were at your
influencer actually,
party.
I feel exceptionally old when I look up. Like, if you go to famous birthdays 10 years ago, it used to be like, oh, this actor, this actress. Now I go to
famous
birthdays.
YouTuber.
And it's like TikTok stars and YouTubers, and I have no idea who they are. And it's out of my element. Let me tell you what.
Look, I will be curious to see how long that will last if that's the type of viewership that they're bringing into this tour. There's no way that they could survive and pay this kind of money.
I don't think they're hurting for money.
Well, you have to be bringing in revenue, though, at some point in time.
I don't think the Saudi government cares about revenue here.
All
they care about is them appearing as though they are a welcoming country.
They aren't looking at trying to, like, get in the...
Yeah, it's... What this is...
Red or whatever it is.
Is... PR for the country's government.
Correct. What I need to know. Just
They're paying a lot of money for it.
All right, we'll see how long it lasts. I'm just saying, I don't know.
What I need to know, just like in Stranger Things, when trapped in the underworld, which of you would be the most help? I thought it was going to say need the most help. Who would be the most help? Curtis watches a lot of Survivor, so even if it was surviving in the underworld, I think he could probably figure it out. I don't know if you can start fire there. That doesn't seem like something you do, but he can. He's very calm and cool, collected.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be Curtis. The one person that you guys are forgetting that I would absolutely take with me is Matt Nelson.
Matt Nelson
would be the one who would be all-knowing in terms of maybe not like physical survival instincts, but having the knowledge of how to navigate that world. I mean, I would take Matt Nelson with me for sure.
That's good. That's a good underrated selection.
Yeah. Not many people would say that.
Under the radar pick. People are going to think it's a reach, and then it's going to end up being like one of the best picks of the draft.
Yeah, because he recognizes everything. I think I found the next Tom Brady.
And also, he produces the outdoor line, so he's got to know some kind of survival skills.
Does
right?
he?
Just by proxy, just by being close to that show?
Sure, yeah.
What I need to know, does Julio Rodriguez make the All-Star team this season? I mean, he's already AL Rookie of the Month in May, not slowing down yet.
I would hope so, but I next year, I think he's a lock.
Yeah.
Already. You can say that definitively. Lock it in. 2023, say it with your chest.
Do you think he just came on just a little too late? Like, that maybe with the late start, a slower April didn't help?
I think what it is they don't want to give too many rookies, or really any rookies, an all-star bid right away. You kind of have to earn your stripes a little bit, because I think Bryce Harper and Mike Trout are maybe the two most recent rookies to do it, and that's the cream of the crop, right? Julio Rodriguez is a very talented player, but I unfortunately do not see him getting into the All-Star game. Is he deserving of it? I think he's deserving of a spot. I think he's played incredibly well, especially after that slow start, but I just don't know nationally if he's going to get the votes needed.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I'll be curious to see if he can make a close push for it, but if he continues to keep playing the way that he is, like he did in the month of May, and can do it in June, certainly continues to keep, you know, staking his case on that possibility.
You're at the movie theater. What I need to know, do you choose blue or red icy or Coke? I go Diet Coke.
You just go with a Diet Coke.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know what, I don't go ever?
You don't get an icy.
Well, icies are fine, but you know what I'll never go with is the soda flavored kind of icy thing. Like when you would go to 7-Eleven and they have Slurpees.
Yes.
The Coke Slurp. Nope. Nope, pass.
Yeah, that's what they're asking. I think you have to be monster. I think you have to be a monster to take
it's
that.
It's weird. Or
flavor.
For that matter, Coke,
I am picking,
root beer candy is weird to me.
I am picking red over blue. I'm picking red over blue. I'm picking cherry flavor
blue
all day, every day.
All the time.
Blue raspberry.
Mariners roster move. Eric Swanson. He's back.
Hey,
oh, there we go.
Did they make
a corresponding move?
Yes, they did.
All right, Swanee.
Anthony Misevich sent down to AAA.
Okay. All right.
Your face made me think you would say Matt Festa.
No. Well, yeah. If it wasn't Festa, it was going to be Misevich.
I think Curtis would have played some music, some celebration music. I think Curtis would have.
I need to know, Jake and Curtis, if you have to pick one childless 7-10 host without kids to be your babysitter, who would it be? How am I not your very best choice?
Well,
Stacey.
There's only one of two choices, right?
I am a
you and Bob.
Great, great choice. I am small and not intimidating to children. I can color. I know how to work technology, so I can put on movies and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, you're hired.
Can the same be said for Bob? I don't know.
Well, definitely not. I would definitely pick you over
Bob. I think I made
a
solid case.
I love you, Bob, but I think we both know that Stacey would definitely be the best choice.
You know what? I think Bob is quite all right with us picking Stacey over him.
I think he is.
What I need to know, have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction?
Well, there was that one day I came in with a giant coffee stain on my shirt in the middle of it.
I was gonna say,
and I sit here looking like a disaster all day.
Wardrobe malfunction, no, but definite mistakes being made with the stain, and then also my dirty pants.
That was great.
What a day that
people
was.
On the MacTech, people on the text line were sending in photos of like a photoshopped dirty pants.
My
it was
pants
so
were just
funny.
Covered
I was dying
in like
all day.
Dirt. I don't even know what it was. It was just like, what?
You got dressed in the dark and pulled them out
I
of
did.
The dirty laundry. That's exactly what you did. It was, you were a mess.
It was
you were disgusting.
Terrible. It was terrible.
All right, that'll do it for us this week. You guys, I'm not going to be back until Wednesday, so you guys are just going to have a fun bro fest for Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Jake and me Monday, Tuesday.
So
yep. We'll be reacting to a Boston sweep.
That's
The Mariners are sweeping the Boston Red Sox.
I'll tell
Let's
you what's
go.
Going to happen. Every single time I'm out, there's a major signing.
Yeah.
Or there's major news, and that's I'm betting what's going to – you know what's going to happen? There's going to be another fight, a benches clearing brawl between the Red Sox and the
you
Mariners.
You heard it here first.
And DK is going to get a deal done. That's going to happen on Monday because it's just my luck with
and
these
And I'll get
two.
The promo.
All right. Well, I think you'll be able to hold it down. Everyone else have
we will
a safe
miss you,
and
have
fun
a lot of
weekend.
Fun,
enjoy the Mariners series. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.